the name of Jesus, and the name of Jesus puts across the point. We're not singing about somebody that's dead. We're singing about somebody that's alive and real, and that we feel here. Somebody wonderful to us. And you'll notice as we go through these songs about the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus is so sweet. I love its music to repeat. It makes my joys full and complete. The precious name of Jesus. Jesus, oh how sweet the name. Jesus, every day the same. Jesus, let all saints proclaim, it's worthy praise forever. Knows all my griefs and griefs apart.
Lifts all anxious
fears depart. I love the name of Jesus. Jesus, oh how sweet the name. Jesus. Last verse. The word of man can ever tell how sweet the name I love so well. Oh, let its praises ever swell. Oh, praise the name of Jesus. Jesus. Sweet the name, Jesus, every day the same. Jesus, let all saints proclaim, it's worthy praise forever. I have found a deep peace that I never had known, and the joy this world could not afford. Since I yielded control of my body and soul to my wonderful, wonderful Lord, my
I know that
verse.
Thou art fairer to me than the fairest
sing it just once more. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. Sing it as a prayer. Sing it as you mean it.
Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. All his passion and purity. Oh, Jesus be seen in me. Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glory of my God and King, the triumph of his grace. May gracious Master and my God assist me to proclaim, to spread to all the earth the broad fame, honors of thy name. Jesus, the name that charms our fears, that bids our sorrows cease, 'tis music in the sinner's ears, 'tis life and health and peace. He breaks the power of canceled sin, he sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulness clean, his blood availed for me. Dear Hinky Dink, his praise ye down, your loosened tongues implore. Be glad, behold the Savior come, and leap ye lame for joy. Deeper, deeper in the light. love of Jesus daily let me go. Holy Spirit, take me deeper still, till my life is wholly lost in Jesus and His perfect will. Oh, deeper yet I pray, and higher every day, and wise and blessed Lord, precious holy word. Deeper, deeper, though it cost our trials, deeper let me go. Rooted in the holy love of Jesus, let me fruitful grow. Precious holy word, deeper, deeper every day in Jesus, till all conflict past finds me conquered and in His own image perfected at last. Oh, deeper yet I pray. Precious holy word.
Chorus once more.
Deeper, deeper, yet I pray, and I pray, and higher every day, and wise and blessed Lord, in my precious holy word.
This is the day.
This is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. We will rejoice, we will rejoice, and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made, I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord.
Aren't you glad that don't work?
This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, I will rejoice, and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made, I will rejoice and be glad in it.
One more time.
This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, I will rejoice, and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made, I will rejoice and be glad in it.
What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve.
What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before Him, heaven and earth adore Him. What a mighty God returns. What a mighty God returns. What a mighty God returns. Angels bow before Him. Heaven and earth adore Him. What a mighty God returns.
What a mighty God we serve. Worship Him this morning. Tell Him that He's a great God. Tell Him that you love Him. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We feel real about it today. For what a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve.
What a mighty God we serve.
God we serve. Praise God. What a mighty God we serve.
In a little town called Bethlehem, so many years ago, they told Him there was no room in the inn. But they had no way of knowing who they had turned.
Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 is our text today. We're talking about what the Bible is. What the Bible is. Since today is Bible Sunday, it would be appropriate to speak on what the Bible is. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Well, let's pray. Father, we ask your blessing today as we study something that's very close to you, your word. Lord, you have exalted your word to the highest place. Lord, even above your name, you tell us. And we desire to bring honor and glory to your word today. So help me to do that through this message. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. A woman was wanting to impress the pastor when he came for a visit, and so she said to her little daughter, "Dear, go and get that book that Mommy loves so well." The little girl soon came back with the brand new Sears catalog. Well, I hope the Bible is the book that you love very dear today. The Bible is referred to in a number of different ways. We speak of it as the Word of God, the Good Book, the Holy Scriptures, the Sword of the Spirit. It's also known as the Book of Books and the Living Word. Some people just call it the book because nothing else seems necessary. The word Bible was formed from a Greek term meaning books in plural, many books. Our Bible is, in fact, a collection of books written by various authors that possess final authority in Christian communities. It has no rival in its pervasive influence. It has influenced Western culture, and it is influencing the world over. It is every year a bestseller, and it's been translated into more than 2,000 languages and dialects. We know the Bible is God's Word not because we are scholars, but because we are people of faith and experience, and we've known it to be authoritative, and we've known it to be true in our lives. The formation of the Bible was in part, yes, a human process, but it was directed, we believe, by God, that every word was inspired or divinely breathed by God. We have reason to feel full confidence when we accept the 66 books as God's inspired word to us. The Bible. The Bible is not in a class. The Bible constitutes a class itself. It is the book of all books. More copies of the Bible were printed last year than in any previous year. And although it's the most outstanding piece of literature ever produced, many, quote, enlightened Americans know very little about it. A few years ago, a test was given to some high school students, actually five classes of high school seniors. This test was on the Bible. Most of them failed the exam completely. Some were so confused that they thought that Sodom and Gomorrah were lovers, or that the Gospels were written by Matthew, Mark, Luther, and John. Others said that Eve was created from an apple, and that the stories that Jesus used were called parodies. More than 80% of the pupils could not complete such familiar quotations as, "Many are called, but few are chosen. A soft answer turns away." Okay, now if you don't know those things, I'm not trying to minimize you today. I would just encourage you to get in the Bible and to study it and to know more about it, because there are principles that are in the Bible that you need to live by. It'll bless your life. And there's consequences that come to those who disobey God's word, whether they are ignorant of those ways or not. There are consequences and hardships that we face by not knowing God's word. A man in Kansas City was severely injured in an explosion. Evangelist Robert L. Sumner tells about him in his book, The Wonder of the Word of God. The victim's face was badly disfigured. He lost his eyesight as well as both of his hands. He was just a new Christian, and so the thing that he felt the worst about was that he was no longer able to read the Bible. And then he heard about a lady in England who read Braille with her lips. So he hoped to do the same thing. He sent for some books of the Bible in Braille. Much to his dismay, however, he discovered that the nerve endings in his lips had also been numbed by the explosion. One day, as he brought the Braille pages to his lips, he just happened to touch some of the raised letters with his tongue. And he could feel the letters there, and he thought that he could read the Bible now with his tongue. You see, the dedication of this man to try to read and to understand and to know the Word of God, it puts us, many of us, to shame. He did whatever he could possibly do to find a way to read the Bible. At the time Robert Sumner wrote his book, the man had read through the Bible 4 times. I want to encourage you today to read the Bible. Read the Bible. It'll make a difference in your life. But what makes the difference is not how many times you have been through the Bible, but how many times the Bible has thoroughly been through you. That is the important thing. There is the historical solidity of God's revelation in history, but there is also the need for God's sheep to hear the shepherd's voice today. And he speaks to us today through his word. God has given us his written word and allowed it to quietly and unhurriedly make its impact in our life. Now, the Bible is a number of things, and I have a lot of objects here today, and I'm going to have some of you come up and hold these objects for us. And one of the things that the Bible is a lamp. The Bible is a lamp. Psalm 119, verse 105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." So could I have a volunteer to come over? I think we could probably fit 5 people up here. Ryan, you want to come? Hold this lamp for us. Maybe come all the way over here. Okay, God's word is a lamp. And as a lamp, it lightens our understanding. Enlightens our understanding. God's word is a lamp to enlighten our understanding. A light for our understanding. Now there's a big word that we learned in college. Maybe some of you have heard this word. It's called hermeneutics. Ever heard of that word? Okay. Hermeneutics is a science that has certain rules, but really what it is a science of is Bible interpretation. So it's a big word that means Bible interpretation. Rules that you follow to interpret the Bible. Hermeneutics. Hermeneutics lights your path as you walk through the Word. In fact, there's an acronym that is LIGHTS that describes very well what hermeneutics is. If we would follow the basic elements of that word LIGHTS, we would then be able to correctly interpret the Bible. So here are the elements that are involved in Bible interpretation. The word L, or the letter L in LIGHTS, stands for literal interpretation. Literal interpretation. The Bible is to be taken literally, except we're in cases where it's obviously symbolic. Okay? Otherwise, we interpret the Bible literally. It means what it says. Sometimes it's not so difficult to understand, but it's difficult to believe. We take the Bible literally, except where symbolism is obvious. Let me give you an example. A few weeks ago, I had a dragon up here. Okay? That is a symbolic meaning of something else that we read about in the Bible. Do you remember what the dragon was symbolic of? What did that represent? Satan, right? The dragon represented Satan. The Bible tells us that the dragon is really Satan. So that's a case of taking the Bible literally, but symbolism is obvious there. But we find that where the Bible is symbolic, in many times it interprets that symbolism for us in another passage of Scripture, or sometimes even in the same passage. So it tells us that that dragon was really the old serpent, the devil. The I in LIGHTS stands for illumination by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit enlightens us both spiritually and intellectually to understand the Bible as we read it and study it. The G in LIGHTS stands for grammatical principle. Grammar, grammatical principle. To interpret the Bible, you follow principles of grammar like you would in any writing. The Greek New Testament has its own set of rules, but I want you to know something. I want you to know that you can understand the Bible without even knowing Greek. You can understand the Bible. If you can read English, you can understand the Bible. And there are all kinds of helps for Christians today. There are Greek lexicons, and there are word study books. that will help you to get a fuller, deeper, richer meaning of a certain passage or even a word that's found in the Bible. And then the H in lights stands for historical context. The historical context sheds light on the meaning of a verse or a passage. For example, in Romans chapter 7 and verse 24, the scripture says, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death?" Did you know that that body of death was an allusion to the ancient custom of tyrants who would strap a dead body to a living man, a living person, until the living person died of contagion? He died because of contact with this dead corpse. So when Paul says, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death?" he was thinking about that custom. And he was thinking about people, living people, healthy men, being overcome because of carrying a dead corpse around continually until they died. He said, "Who is able to deliver me from the body of death?" You know who the answer to that is? Jesus. Jesus delivers us from that body of death. You see how the passage takes on new meaning as we understand the historical context in which it is written. And then the T in light stands for teaching ministry. The Bible's purpose is to teach us and to instruct us in the way that we should go. It teaches us something about Jesus on every page, and that's a good way to study your Bible and look, how is this passage talking about Jesus? How does this relate to Jesus? Because He is the central figure, and He is there in every circumstance and in every situation. And then as we study the parables, by the way, that's what the stories of Jesus were called, parables, we know that they teach one central truth. And we look for that main idea or the central truth that is being communicated through that parable. And then finally, the lights stand for scriptural harmony. Scriptural harmony. The Bible will never contradict itself. So you look up cross-references and you look up other passages of Scripture that support the verse that you are reading. But you know, you also look for verses that appear to be opposite. Now, they're not, but they appear to be, at first glance, they appear to be opposite of what you're reading. Why do you do that? So that you get the right balance? So that you get the correct view and the right interpretation? And so, the Bible is what? It's a light for our understanding. Okay? It's a light or a lamp for our understanding. Number two, the Bible is a mirror. Somebody else. Hey, Debbie. The mirror. What do you see in the mirror? Yourself, your reflection. There you go. Hold that out there, please. The mirror. Bible is a mirror for self-reflection. Okay? The lamp is a light for understanding. The mirror is for self-reflection. We have to engage in spiritual activities if we are going to fully revitalize the power of the Word of God. And one such activity it's very important is for us to look at the Bible and use it as a mirror to see ourselves. You know that the Bible knows more about you than you know about yourself. As you begin to read the Bible, you learn things about yourself. There are times when you feel convicted. There are times when you feel joy, but you see yourself in the mirror of God's Word. Now, when you see yourself in the mirror, you can't just look at it and go and forget what manner of man you are. You can't just look at it and forget what you look like. The purpose of the mirror is to change the hair that's out of place, you know, to straighten the collar, straighten the tie, or get the wrinkles out of the dress or whatever. You look there because you are trying to improve yourself. You are trying to improve your looks. We're trying to improve our looks as Christians as far as the world sees us. We're trying to improve ourselves. But the great thing about God's Word is not only do we just see the outside, but we see the inside. We see what we look like in the inward part of the heart. You know, man's heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So you need the mirror of reflection. You need God's word to see your own heart and to see yourself. Number three, Joshua, I'll let you come up and hold this one. This is his. The Bible is a sword for our conflict. You can take it out if you'd like. Okay, so the Bible is a lamp for... Here, over here. The Bible is... What is this? A lamp for our understanding. The Bible is a mirror for reflection. The Bible is a... For our conflict or war. Right, conflict. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 27. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. I don't know if I gave you the scripture verse for the mirror. It's James 1:23. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass or in a mirror. The Apostle Paul explicitly tells us that the sword of the Spirit, that scripture is the sword of the Spirit. It's the word of God. The Scottish pastor and writer Thomas Guthrie said, "The Bible is an armory of heavenly weapons, a laboratory of infallible medicines, a mine of exhaustless wealth. It is a guidebook for every road, a chart for every sea, a medicine for every malady, and a balm for every wound. Rob us of our Bible, and our sky has lost its sun." Her mother was startled to see 7-year-old Karen going through a new Bible storybook, circling the word God wherever it appeared on the page. Stifling her urge to reprimand the child for defacing the book, the mother quietly asked her, "Why are you doing that?" Karen answered rather matter-of-factly, "So that I will know where to find God when I need him." Actually, Karen may have the right idea, because when we come up against times in our life that are trials and tribulations and times that we need help, we need to know where to go in the Bible to find God's promises and God's answers. We need to know where to go for help in our time of need. So we need to know the Bible. Number four, the Bible is honey for our delight. Honey for our delight. Okay, Mark. Don't eat it now. You wouldn't catch me eating it either. Psalm chapter 19 and verse 10, talking about the words of the Lord. "More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb." So the Bible is honey for our delight. The Bible tastes good when we're in a right relationship with God. And it tastes so good if we're not in a right relationship with God, but when we are in a right relationship with God, the Bible tastes good. Luther said he studied his Bible as he gathered apples. First he shook the whole tree that the ripest might fall. Then he shook each limb. And where he had shaken each limb, he shook each branch. And after each branch, every twig. And then he looked under every leaf. And you know, when you think about Bible study, you can think about that as well. Search the Bible as a whole, shaking the whole tree. Read it rapidly as you would any other book. Then shake every limb. Study book after book. Then shake every branch, giving attention to the chapters when they break to continue the flow of that makes sense there. Then shake each twig by a careful study of the paragraphs and sentences. And you will be rewarded if you will look under each leaf by searching the meaning of the words. Jeremiah chapter 15 and verse 16 says, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts." So let's just review here for a moment. The Bible is, first of all, a lamp for our... Okay, the Bible is a... mirror for our reflection, self-reflection, good. The Bible is a sword for our conflict, and the Bible is honey for our delight. And one last one. The Bible is a hammer for our obstinacy or our stubbornness. Anybody want the hammer? Okay, man. Jeremiah 23:29. Jeremiah 23:29, is not my word like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? During the days that Newt Rockne was coaching Notre Dame football, a sports columnist in a South Bend, Indiana newspaper earned the reputation of being the meanest, most cutting writer in the country. This particular writer knew Notre Dame very well. He knew all about the team. He knew all about the team's weaknesses. He pointed out the mistakes even of individual players. He told about those who were lazy. He told about those who broke training. He talked about those who didn't discipline themselves. Now, of course, reading about yourself in a paper like that would make you pretty upset. And so his players were roaring mad. The truth hurt, and they complained to their coach, to Rockne. He listened with sympathy, but said that he could not stop the writer. He advised that the only way really to stop the writer was to play so well, to go out and play the game so well that they would prove him wrong. Later, it became known that the writer of the column was Newt Rockne himself. As coach of the team, he knew best about the team. He knew about their weaknesses, and his critical column was just his device, his way to develop a better team. You know, sometimes the scriptures speak so harshly to us, so sharply to us, that it's uncomfortable. But God tells the truth because he loves us and because he wants to make us all champions. He wants us all to be winners. He knows that we cannot win unless we discipline ourselves, that we must discipline ourselves to obey him and obey his rules and his commandments and to live our life according to his principles. He knows that. And so he speaks to us in areas where we need to be spoken to. A small factory had to cease operations when a vital piece of machinery broke down. The firm's own maintenance men, the mechanics, they couldn't find out where the problem was. And so they called in an outside expert. He looked the situation over for a couple of minutes, and then he took a hammer. And all he did was take that hammer and tap the machine in a certain spot, and it started running beautifully. He submitted a bill to the plant manager for $100. The plant manager, when he got the bill, he went through the roof. And he called this expert up, and he asked for an itemized bill, which came as follows: $1 for hitting the machine, $99 for knowing where to hit it. God uses his word to hit us where we need fixing. You know, sometimes you're just reading, and there's a lot of good stuff in there, but you go right past that, and God doesn't speak to you about any of that, but he gets to the spot where you need to be hit. And he takes his word like a hammer, and he hits us in the right spot. That's the area that we need to fix. That's the area that we need to work on. It's the constant pounding of the same spot that weakens the stone. It's also true of the flinty hearts of men. The word of God, like a hammer, may have to be applied again and again and again. It might have to be applied often in the same area, in the same spot, until it finally breaks the rock in pieces, until it finally breaks our heart and softens it for him to use. The Bible is a lot of things. If you are cold, let it warm you. If you are asleep, let it wake you. If you are a backslider, let it warn you. If you are defiled, let it wash you. If you are disobedient, let it whip you. If you are uncertain, let it witness to you. If you are unsaved, let it win you. George Mueller said this about God's Word: the vigor of our spiritual life will be in exact proportion to the place held by the Bible in our life and thoughts. I solemnly state this from the experience of 54 years. The first 3 years after conversion, I neglected the Word of God. But since I began to search it diligently, the blessing has been wonderful. Great has been the blessing from consecutive, diligent, daily study. I look upon it as a lost day when I have not had a good time over the Word of God. All right, let's review just one more final time here this morning. The Bible is a light or lamp for our understanding. The Bible is a mirror for our reflection. The Bible is a sword for our... The Bible is for our delight. And the Bible is hammer for our obstinacy, if you could say that word, or stubbornness, whichever works better. Remember this. A Bible that is falling apart usually belongs to a person who isn't. A Bible that is falling apart usually belongs to a person who isn't. So use your Bible. Study your Bible. Read your Bible on a daily basis. Can I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning? I've asked for this commitment before, and it's a commitment that I made many years ago. And it's been a blessing to me. So I bring it to you today. I wonder if you would be willing just to make a promise to God that you will read His Word every day. It doesn't need to be a lot. It might only be a sentence. You know, as you don't have much time on a certain day. Other days you'll probably read longer. But if you could just make a commitment to God, Lord, I'll read some portion of your Bible every day. Every day. I don't know how often I've had a busy day. I've gotten up sooner than expected and had an emergency or something and went the whole day without reading the Bible. But as I get in bed at night, the Lord will remind me of that promise that I made to Him. And so I'll have to turn the light on or do something to read just something in His Word every day. I wonder if you would just tell the Lord you would do that and make that commitment to Him today. And then would you just seal that commitment with your raised hand? Praise the Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Lord, you see these hands today. I thank you for those that want to read your word. And I pray, Lord, that as they read it, it would be all of these things standing before us this morning and more. The word of God would be so important in our lives that we would not neglect it. I pray, Lord, that as we begin to do this, that there would be great blessing that falls on everyone who reads your word. May it just come alive to them, and may it be joyous and exciting, a time that they wouldn't want to miss. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, guys. You can set those down. Let's all stand as we sing "The Bible Stands."
The Bible stands like a rock, and on it mend the raging storms of time. Its pages burn with the truth eternal, and they glow with the light sublime. The Bible stands, though the hills may tumble, it will firmly stand. When the earth shall crumble,
third verse.
The Bible stands and it will forever when the world has passed away. By inspiration it has been given, all its precepts I will obey. The Bible stands, though the hills may tumble, it will firmly stand. When the earth shall
you dismiss us in prayer and ask the blessing on the food and fellowship downstairs too, please.
Dear Jesus, we just thank you for this time we can come together and learn more about your word, God, and Lord, just help us remember this commitment that we have made to you to read our Bibles every day, God, and to know and find these things in the Bible, Lord, and what the Bible can do in our lives. And Lord, just bless the food to our body's needs that are downstairs. In your name.